Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. What is life like for ex-offenders trying to regain a positive place in our society? Well, it's not easy. We'll explain that a little bit later. But first, you probably heard a few days ago that the organization that helps maintain Forest Park has received a huge gift from the Jack Taylor family. Forest Park Forever, the private nonprofit conservancy that partners with the city to restore, maintain, and sustain the park, will use the $30 million gift to continue the high level of park care. Joining me to talk about that and other things relating to the park is Leslie Hopeforth, the president and executive director of Forest Park Forever. Leslie, so nice to see you.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Congratulations on a job well done. I don't think there's anybody that has any complaints about Forest Park.
Now, you're right. People have some of their best days in Forest Park. They like to use it for so many different reasons, and it really, truly is a treasure in our community.
Before we talk about that nice gift from the Taylor family, let's set the conversation up with a little history of your organization and somewhat of the park as well, so people fully understand it.
Okay. So we will be 30 years old next year. Forest Park Forever will. The park actually was founded in the late 1800s. The 1904 World's Fair was held here. Active recreation came to the park in the 20s and 30s. And then there was this 30-year decline in maintaining it. So we came in the mid-80s because the park had really fallen apart. We were started by a group of people that just had great childhood memories of the park and hated that it had fallen apart and said, let's do something about it. A pretty monumental task, really. By the mid-90s, we co-chaired the master plan with the city of St. Louis. We worked with thousands of people throughout the community to talk about what should the park look like when it gets restored. Once that was done, we raised $100 million along with the city of St. Louis to restore the park. And it's really been a great partnership with the entire community. They were involved in how the park would be restored. They were involved through fundraising to rebuild it. They continue to be involved through the advisory board that looks at any changes to the park. Forest Park Forever continues to maintain the things that private dollars restored. We take care of the landscapes around them. And we are now leading in a new era with our partners with the city to make sure that long after we're all gone, there is money there to always take care of the park in the manner that it should be.
Well, the Taylor gift certainly goes a long way toward that. As a matter of fact, I guess it's one-third of what you raised initially. If you raised $100 million, $30 million is no small potatoes, obviously.
It's just such an amazing gift. I can't even, I still get really emotional when I talk about it. It's such a testament to the work that the organization has done over a long period of time. And Jack Taylor and his family are very rooted in St. Louis and have great childhood memories of the park themselves and want to be able to do something that will pay it forward to families generations from now in St. Louis.
Well, you have a master plan, obviously, as you've indicated. I know it's early in the game, but do you have any sense of how that money would be spent to fulfill the master plan?
So the master plan talks about capital projects in the park, and many of the iconic places in the park were rebuilt based on that plan. The Emerson Grand Basin, the World's Fair Pavilion, the Boathouse, the Dual Path around the park that I know is a favorite of yours. Mm-hmm. And then some of the things that the water that goes through the park was envisioned to mirror the River de Pere that used to run through the park. So things coming up in the master plan are connecting the rest of the lakes on the east side of the park with the rest of the water system, continuing to add on to our recreation amenities in the park with having restrooms that are open year-round, gathering plazas with those, continuing to upgrade event spaces, and really take care of the bones of the park, the infrastructure in the park, to make sure it's all of the quality people would expect in the park.
In accepting the gift, I don't know if it was you that was being quoted, but someone said this will help us fulfill our, quote, urgent needs. What are the urgent needs?
Right. So the gift for our endowment, besides all of those capital projects I just talked about, the endowment is there to really make sure that we're doing much needed repairs and doing the preventative maintenance things that we should to extend the life of the projects that have been rebuilt and are still on the list. So, for example, the Emerson Grand Basin had about $100,000 worth of just routine repair work done on it last fall. That was made possible because of a growing endowment fund. So it's really taking care of those things that really aren't exciting, things that we have to do to our own homes, for example, that we know we have to spend.
Things you don't see necessarily.
Right, you don't really see them. So it's repairing pumps for the water system. There are sections of it that we recirculate water to reduce the amount of water that's pumped in. Pumps need work. There is work that needs to be done to the Nathan Frank Bandstand. We did painting and some repair work at the World's Fair Pavilion. There's more to do. So we're right now, if someone goes by our visitor center, they will see big lifts out there. We're painting. Not today, since it's raining. Yeah. But it's just routine maintenance that it adds up with a 1,300-acre park. There's a lot of work that has to be done every year.
You know, one of the figures that I've seen with regard to the park is that how many million come through it? 12 or 13 million people use the park a year?
Yes.
That's a million a month. That's almost hard to believe.
It's a lot. And about half of that amount comes from our cultural institutions, or they're here visiting our just amazing cultural institutions that we have in the park. A lot of our other visitors are their neighbors. They're here maybe a couple of times a day exercising, and then they come back with their kids to have a picnic or go to one of the cultural institutions, go to one of the events.
And on a pretty day, just try parking anywhere near the zoo, correct?
Parking is at a premium on the west side of the park. There is actually a lot of parking available on the east side of the park. So I would just recommend, yes, it's very crowded over at the zoo. I would recommend coming in one of the entrances that's not Hampton, parking at our newly opened Festival and Parking Plaza at the Upper Muni, 800 spots, or at the Visitor Center, hopping on the Forest Park trolley. It's $2 for adults, $1 for kids, on-off privileges all day long. Fabulous way to see everything there is in the park and stay out of the traffic.
You had indicated early on that you got started, and I assume it's still happening, that being a lot of input from the public with regard to the park. How does that happen? Where does that happen? How do I have my say about what goes on in the park?
There are different ways that you can get in contact with us. The master plan that was done in the mid-90s included a process for always having public input going forward. I think it's a brilliant plan. The community was really involved in how the park would be transformed, and they gained some ownership in the decisions that would be made. They continue to be involved through the Forest Park Advisory Board. It's about a 25-member board that they're all appointed by the mayor of St. Louis, and they represent all the different interests in the park. So neighborhoods, organized sports, passive recreation, running, whatever it is. There's a whole list of different interests. And so you can participate that way. If you have an idea for something that you'd like to see in the park, you can let Forest Park Forever know. You can let the City Parks Department know, and that will get funneled to the advisory board.
Well, I have to tell you, and you know this is coming, that three people have approached me knowing you were coming in here today and said, we want a dog park inside the park. But I guess you're not the person to ask about that.
Well, you know, the great thing about Forest Park is it's the people's park, and there are a lot of people that are involved in deciding, is this the right fit for the park or not? So dog parks were not contemplated in the mid-90s when the master plan was done. There weren't really dog parks around. Doesn't mean there couldn't be one, but it's the advisory board that would vet that idea and make a recommendation to the city parks director on if that does it fit with a master plan. If so, then we could consider it. There would need to be funding for a project like that. If it doesn't fit with a master plan, there's a process for that as well to be added to the master plan.
So you're not saying that because there isn't one there now, it can't happen?
No, it can't happen. But as I said, there's a long process that involves a lot of people to make sure that it really does fit with the spirit and intent of the master plan.
You mentioned the cultural institutions a moment or two ago. What sway way, if that's the right word, does Forest Park Forever have in connection with the History Museum, the Science Center, the zoo?
We all work together in partnership. The directors of all the cultural institutions in the park serve on our board of directors. We think that's important because we all live together in Forest Park as a community. So we all work together, and we try to respect the space of each of the cultural institutions and not conflict with each other. For example, it was purposeful for the Shakespeare Festival to not be going on the same time the Muni's going on. Twilight Tuesdays are on Tuesday nights, when Shakespeare is not in operation. The movies on Art Hill that have started happening recently are on Friday nights so that they're not conflicting with the Twilight Tuesday concerts. So there's kind of a balance, and we all try to work together and give each other the opportunity to kind of take center stage at one point or another.
And you don't mind people traipsing through as a group looking for owls, I assume?
Not at all. We've got quite a following. Our someone that is tracking some owls in the park, Mark Glenshaw, and he has people come out for his owl prowls. So besides the cultural institutions, you're right, there's great natural resources in the park. We actually have about 200 acres of nature reserves in the park, and that was part of the master plan to change some of the mowed turf areas over to a more natural setting, wanting to attract more wildlife. And it's done just that. It's just an amazing resource we have right in the middle of the city.
Quite a variety. Walking through the park, you can see any number of things you wouldn't expect to see with skyscrapers, almost skyscrapers around the park.
I have really grown to love the east side of the park. That is designated kind of our natural outdoor recreation space. And to see the high rises of the Central West End just past the trees, it's a pretty amazing sight. If people haven't been to that side of the park, I would highly recommend it. Get out of your car, go for a walk on the pass through the nature reserves. It's really quite an experience that is tough to beat.
Just getting back to the cultural institutions before I have to take a break, I want to point out that you are not affiliated with the Zoo Museum District, even though these institutions are in the park.
We're not. That would probably be one of our top misconceptions in the community. The Zoo Museum District funds four of our cultural institutions in the park, the Art Museum, Science Center, Zoo, and History Museum, in addition to the Botanical Gardens. The park itself, the 850 acres that isn't a golf course or a cultural institution, the open parkland does not receive any ZMD funding, which is why it's so important for people to help us out with supporting Forest Park Forever.
And while we're talking acreage, we always like to point out that Forest Park is bigger than Central Park. So take that, New York.
We love pointing that out. Right. We're 1,371 acres, and Central Park is a little, it's around 850 acres. So.
But their budget there is almost $60 million, and yours is under $7 million.
It is. Well, right now the park spends upwards of $10 million, and we know we're not spending what we should, actually, to maintain all the landscapes, hardscapes, and infrastructure in the park.
I'm speaking with Leslie Hofarth, who is the president and executive director of Forest Park Forever. Of course, we're talking about Forest Park. I'm sure many of you listening have thoughts about it, things that you'd like to see there, things that you love about the park. If you'd like to get into this conversation, we would love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. Leslie Hofarth, one issue that always comes to the fore with regard to institutions such as yours, particularly the area that you're responsible for, is security. Before Forest Park Forever came into the picture, that was a big problem. I remember covering rapes and assaults in that park. It was a big problem. You don't hear about that anymore.
It's a very safe park for our 13 million visitors. The city of St. Louis is responsible for security in the park, but Forest Park Forever does work closely with the Parks Department and the Police Department to make sure that we're doing everything we can for people to feel safe while they're in the park. You're right, there is not you don't hear the stories that you used to about crime in the park. The majority of the crime is car break-ins. The best thing people can do is to don't come in the park with anything valuable in your car.
That people can see.
Right, that you can see. And if you're going to transfer things to your trunk, do it before you come to the park so someone's not watching you do that. So that's really the best thing that you can do. And again, you find car break-ins anywhere in the city, in the metropolitan area, really. It gets a lot more attention when it's Forest Park, though.
How big a deal is it for you to have the Fair St. Louis move to the park? You're doing it again this year?
We are.
It's a lot of people over a short period of time.
We are thrilled to have Fair St. Louis back again this year while the Arch Grounds are under construction. There's really no better place to do it if it can't be down at the Arch Grounds. We have worked very closely with Fair St. Louis and the city and all the cultural institutions to make sure that this is something that works well for park visitors coming to the fair and also to the cultural institutions. We've worked to minimize damage to the grounds and make sure that traffic moves well and gets people in and out.
Let's take some calls, okay?
Okay.
We'll start with Grace calling from Manchester. Grace, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me. First of all, I would just like to say I really love Forest Park. I live right across from the Tam Bridge, and so I'm there every day, and it's a great place to be. But I noticed that it's definitely geared toward a certain demographic as far as the activities that the park offers. I know that there are multiple golf courses, even cricket fields and racquetball, but I have noticed a big lack in the fact that there are no even basketball courts in the park, and I was wondering if there was some kind of explanation behind that.
Well, we talked earlier about the master plan process that was done in the mid-90s and a lot of public input about a variety of things that should be in the park. So that was the mid-90s, and as we talked about earlier, there is certainly the possibility for people to come to an advisory board meeting. We always invite public comment at those meetings to bring up that idea, and we're always entertaining new ideas.
We have, along these lines, we have a Twitter question asking if there are any plans to perhaps one day put a public pool in there.
Well, again, back to the I don't remember that coming up in the I'm sure it was an idea that came up in the master plan, and it's not in the current plan, but come on down to an advisory board meeting and state your case there, and it'll be discussed at that time.
Your answer may be the same for Tom's question. He's calling from Ladue. Tom, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my call. Leslie, I'd like to know if the restoration of the large waterfall across from the golf course is in the master plan.
That waterfall, the Cascades or Flagle Fountains, were redone in the initial restoration work. We are actually doing some fundraising now. We started that at the Hat Luncheon that was just a couple weeks ago to do some repair work to that. No plan right now to do a total restoration or redesign of it or anything. It definitely needs some love. It needs some maintenance work to it.
Okay, Tom, that answer your question? I have one for you, Leslie. A couple of weeks ago, there was a small controversy developed over the statue of a Confederate officer. And a lot of people were saying that's inappropriate. We don't want that in the park. What's going to happen with that?
I'm not sure really what the status of that is right now. It's not something that Forest Park Forever has been part of the discussion on. There was interest in Forest Park Forever getting involved in that discussion, and it was decided, you know, we need to stick with our mission, which is taking care of the park itself. And so I'm not sure where that conversation is right now.
But there is a conversation.
My understanding is the mayor's office has asked for some study into whether that monument should be in the park or not.
All right. Back to the phones, and we'll bring in Tom calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello, Don.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I wanted to say that I've lived around Forest Park all my life, and what Forest Park has, Forest Park Forever has accomplished in renovation of the park, I think is one of the great victories for our metropolitan area over the last 20 years. We're all indebted to the Taylors and the many other donors that have helped to fund that. Now, I do have one specific question. I'm a runner in the park, and I wanted to ask if there's any plan to reconstruct Government Drive in, on the west side of the park, which is by the north entrance to the zoo. It's just in terrible shape. It's one of the few roads in the park that hasn't been upgraded. I want to know if there's any plan for that.
Yes, you are in luck there. And, you know, we are working to raise private dollars to rebuild that road. So if you want to help us out, that'd be great. But we do have plans. I mentioned earlier, infrastructure is important in the park. And so we are raising funds to rebuild both of the roads around the zoo on the north side and the south side. The roads themselves are falling apart. There are no sidewalks in many parts, which makes it a real challenge for families with strollers or wheelchairs to be in that part of the park. So yes, we are starting the design work on that now, and hope to be under construction in late 2016 or early 2017.
Okay, Tom, thank you for the call. We'll take another one here. As time allows, we'll take calls and bring in Patty, calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Patty.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted you to know there was a precursor to Forest Park Forever, which was the Forest Park Preservation Fund, which actually we formed as a protest against the expansion of Children's Hospital over Kings Highway. But once that was successfully resolved, we held on to those funds. And when Forest Park Forever was formed, we turned our meager funds over to you. In retrospect, I'm sorry that we didn't earmark them for the entrance to the park at the Missouri History Museum, because frankly, that to me is the most visible entrance to the park, and it is just weeds. I've mentioned this over the years. I mentioned it to the previous director of the Missouri History Museum, who told me that that was actually a Forest Park Forever, or at least the park's function. I've mentioned it even to the current director, and I'm just wondering why, with the beauty of the park and the beauty of the other entrances, why there has been such negligence of this major entrance to the park.
You'll actually see a lot of changes at the DeBolivar entrance over the next year or two, with the loop trolley coming in to the north side of the park at the History Museum, and the GRG trail coming through there. There will be an upgrade to the landscaping in that block between Forest Park Parkway and Lindell. It is actually Forest Park on either side of DeBolivar, and so we are working on landscaping plans for that area as well.
Patty, thank you for the call. We've only got a minute left. What do you see as your biggest challenge going forward?
I think it's that people see the park as this great place, and it's done. Let's move on to something else. But it's never going to be done. It's this living, breathing space that we want to always be relevant in the community. And just I would love it for people to understand that there are a lot of private dollars that go into the park. There are a lot of ways to contribute. You don't have to be Jack Taylor to make a gift to the park. There's a place for everyone. We love it when people become members, become volunteers, and just get involved and be part of it.
I'm sure a lot of this information is on a website. Is that true?
Yes. You can visit forestparkforever.org.
We'll put a link to that website on at stlpublicradio.org. Leslie Hofer, thank you so much for being with us. And again, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Great asset to this community, needless to say. And coming up, what is life like here for ex-offenders? We'll talk about that in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.